right. Well, today is the second week of a new series called This Is That. Come on, just look at somebody and say, This Is That. Yes. Oh, come on, y'all. Get a little boldness to you. Come on, look at somebody else telling, This Is That. There you go. On the day of Pentecost in the Bible, 120 believers were gathered in the upper room in Jerusalem, and while they were praying, the Bible says the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them, and they began to speak in languages that they did not know. Peter stood up and said, This is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to look at what that is. Are y'all ready? Last week I started out with a question, and I'll ask you again this morning. Who is the most important figure in Christianity?
Jesus.
All right, in case you didn't get it the first time. Who's the most important person in Christianity?
Jesus.
All right, Jesus Christ. He is the central figure of our faith. He is the main man, okay? He puts the Christ in Christianity, yet Jesus told his disciples in John 16, it's better for you if I go away, so the Holy Spirit can come. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. That should tell you how absolutely essential the Holy Spirit is in the life of the believer. Who is the Holy Spirit? Simply put, the Holy Spirit is God. There is only one God, and yet he has revealed himself to us as Father, Son, and Spirit.
Yes.
It's what they call the Holy Trinity, and it's what I call the mystery of the Trinity. One day, St. Augustine was walking down the shores of a beach, and he was contemplating the Trinity, trying to grasp and understand the fullness of what it meant that God was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And he saw a little boy carrying water in a bucket and dumping it in a little hole in the sand. And he stopped and he said, Young man, what are you doing? He said, I'm trying to put the whole ocean in this little hole. And immediately it dawned on him. That's like me trying to figure out the mystery of the Trinity. Some things we just cannot comprehend this side of heaven. I don't know about you, but I don't fully understand it, okay? And if you do, you can explain it to me later, all right? I may not understand it, but I believe what the Word of God says.
Yes.
Aren't you glad we don't have to figure out everything before we follow Jesus?
Yes.
Oh, we'd all be in trouble. Listen, if I had to figure out how my car runs before I could drive it, I'd be sitting in my driveway crying right now. Okay, I don't know how a combustion engine works, but all I have to do is put the key in and drive. There are some things that we don't understand before we get to heaven and see him face to face. That's why we walk by faith in this life.
Yes.
Amen. There is only one God, yet we see him as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, he came and spoke to them saying, All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. When I look at the Word of God, I see God. I see the Father as God above us. I see Jesus as God before us, as our example. And I see the Holy Spirit as God within us, our help and our comforter. And while the Holy Spirit is preeminent in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, not many scriptures describe the Holy Spirit. People tend to focus on the Father and the Son when they study the Word of God. And some people, maybe you're even a little afraid of the Holy Spirit. You know, in the old school, we say Holy Ghost. Maybe you're afraid of the Holy Ghost, all right? Maybe you've had some negative experiences where people have misused the gifts of the Holy Spirit, or maybe even acted in the flesh and set claim to be following the Spirit. I don't know about you, but I've had some baggage from some things people did in the name of the Holy Spirit. Have y'all?
Yeah.
I had somebody speak a word over me one time that was not from God. They spoke of circumstances in my life that did not exist and spoke of things that I was doing that I was not doing. And immediately I realized, okay, they say that they're being led by the Spirit, but God ain't in that. Somebody, God ain't in that.
Amen.
That's not called prophesying, that's called prophelying. So maybe it's just a misunderstanding of who the Holy Spirit is, or maybe it's a negative experience with someone who claimed to be led by the Spirit. But I want you to know today that the Holy Spirit is God, and God is good. And as you search the Scriptures, you will find that the Holy Spirit has all of the attributes and characteristics of God. First of all, we see that He's omniscient. That means all-knowing. He knows everything. 1 Corinthians 2:11, for who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So the Holy Spirit knows all of the deep thoughts of God.
Yes, He does.
He is also omnipotent. That means all-powerful. Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty. He's even directly called God in the Bible. In Acts chapter 4, when Peter confronts Ananias, he says, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back a portion of the price of the land for yourself? While it remained, was it not your own? After it was sold, was it not your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. When you lie to the Holy Spirit, you're lying to God. We read this verse last week, 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. So the Holy Spirit is not just an it or a force. The Holy Spirit is God, and He has unique personal traits. He has a personality, if you will. The Holy Spirit is more than just a force or power. The Holy Spirit is God. But wherever the Holy Spirit is, there is always power there. New Testament writers and Jesus Himself make it clear who the Holy Spirit is. Jesus said, John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. John 15:26, Jesus says again, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth which proceeds from the Father, He shall testify of me. John 16:13, however, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come, and He will glorify me for He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. You get the idea so far? Holy Spirit is more than power. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will teach us and remind us of the things that Jesus said, and He will testify of Jesus. He will guide us and tell us things to come. We see from 1 Timothy 4:1 that He speaks, from Romans chapter 8 that He intercedes, from John 15:26 that He testifies, from Acts 20:28 that He appoints, and Ephesians 4:30 He can be grieved. Acts 13 verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. So the Holy Spirit is God, and whether you know it or not, He is actively involved in your life.
Yes.
And this is going to be my focus today, the ministry of the Holy Spirit to humanity. Last week I talked about the three baptisms of the New Testament, and this morning I want to teach you about the three relationships between the Holy Spirit and us. Y'all ready to dig in today?
Yes.
All right, three distinct relationships between the Holy Spirit and humanity. Number one, the Holy Spirit is with us. Come on, say, He's with me. And this is true of all humanity. The Holy Spirit is with every person on this planet. Come on, say,
He's with me.
Tell somebody, He's with you. All right, look back at John 16. It says, John 16, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. If I do not go away, the Helper, He will not come to you. But if I depart, He will send Him to you. And when He has come, He will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment.
Yes.
Notice verse 8. When He has come, He will convict what? The world of sin. The world. You know what that means?
Yes.
Everybody. All right. Means you and me and your mama too. All right. The Holy Spirit comes to convict the whole world of sin. And the Holy Spirit is with all of us, convicting us of our sins. David said this in Psalm 139, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. And if I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." There is nowhere you can go where the Holy Spirit is not there also. Jesus said, when he has come, he will convict the world of sin. This is why you should never be afraid to tell somebody about Jesus. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit's already working on them anyway. That's what the Holy Spirit does. I think about Otis Cruz, one of our board members, the head of our ushers. I love his testimony when he came to Christ. He said he was up in the club, sitting at the bar, and he heard a voice that said, "Get out of here, you don't belong here." Yes. He looked at his drinking buddies and said, "Y'all say something?" No, he didn't say nothing. He heard that voice again. "You don't belong here." Who was that? Holy Spirit. Do y'all know the Holy Spirit can even go up in the club and the bars? Yes. Hello, David said, "I can go nowhere where your spirit isn't already there. You can run, but you can't hide. The Holy Spirit will be with you there." Yes. Acts 2:36, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And while Peter preached about Jesus, the men gathered in Jerusalem, the Bible says they were pricked in their heart. Let me ask you something. Who was pricking their heart? It wasn't Peter. It was the Holy Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He convicts us of our sins. And for those of you who are not in right relationship with God today, the Holy Spirit is with you, trying to help you. He's moving on your heart, convicting you of your sins. And listen to me, don't ignore the voice of the Holy Spirit, because you don't have forever. That's why it's urgent that you yield to the leading of the Holy Spirit and you repent of your sins, because this may be your last chance. You do not know. You never know when your final breath will be. And I thank God that His Holy Spirit is moving on people's hearts and drawing them to Jesus. But listen to what God said. He said, Genesis 6:3, "My spirit will not always strive with man." The Holy Spirit will move on your heart and compel you to come to God, but the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized within the lifetime of the opportunity. Holy Spirit of God will strive with you in this life, but He will not strive with you forever. You got to listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to Him now. Listen to Him today. Get right with God. Come to Him just the way you are and let God make you the person He created you to be. In fact, if you're not right with God, you can get right now, right here in the middle of this sermon, right now, in this very moment. Come on, let's close our eyes and pray. And if you are not where you need to be with God, you can make it right with Him right now in this moment. I believe the Holy Spirit's been talking to somebody all week long. He's been trying to lead you out of a lifestyle of sin. And God brought you here for this moment right now. I want to lead you in a simple prayer. Just pray with me. Dear God, forgive me of my sins. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. Make me brand new. And I turn away from sin. And I turn to you, and I will follow you with my whole heart. Amen and amen. The Holy Spirit is here to convict us of sin. Why? Because God knows more than we know how destructive sin is. Sin will destroy your body. Sin will destroy your mind. Sin will destroy your soul. The Holy Spirit speaks to us to pull us out of sin. Number one, the Holy Spirit is with us. Number two, I like this one, the Holy Spirit is within us. This is the relationship between the Holy Spirit and those who believe in Jesus. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. And for somebody, I believe that just happened in this moment. You have the Holy Spirit not just with you, but He's within you. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Before He was crucified, Jesus told the disciples, the Holy Spirit is with you, but He will be in you. When you're born again, the Bible says that you are born of the Spirit. And now you have the Spirit of God inside of you. And unlike the world, when you have the Holy Spirit within you, guess what? He's there to stay.
Amen.
If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments and I will pray the Father and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. The Holy Spirit will not strive with unbelievers forever, but He will always be with those who believe, always. When you receive Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit within you. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, we have all been made to drink of one Spirit. When you drink something, where does it go initially? Inside of you. Okay, when you are baptized into the body of Christ, the Bible says that you drink of the Holy Spirit, so you have the Holy Spirit within you. Now let me ask you a serious question. How many of you have ever thought to yourself, what if I could sit down with Jesus face to face? Anybody? Come on, what if I could just ask Him all the questions that I want to ask Him? I think we probably all thought that. But the problem is, we all want to talk to Jesus, and we all want to ask God questions, yet we ignore the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. Ooh, that was a tough word today. We want to talk to Jesus and we want to ask God questions, and yet we ignore the Spirit of God in our daily lives. Do you realize that the Holy Spirit is God? And that there's nothing that God doesn't know? When we measure somebody's IQ, their intelligence, we call it the IQ, intelligence quotient. Uh-huh. Albert Einstein had an IQ of a 190. Uh-huh. I have an IQ of I don't know because ignorance is bliss and I don't want it. Or probably like 17 or something. All right. But do you realize that God has no IQ?
Amen.
He has no IQ. We can't measure His I because He doesn't have a Q. Okay, there is no quotient. There is no limit to God's knowledge. He is all-knowing. He is omniscient. He knows everything. Do you realize that God has never had an aha moment? God has never sat there and thought of something that He didn't already know? Okay, and that's the very same God that dwells inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit of God within you. John 16, Jesus said, I still have a whole lot of stuff I need to tell you, but you can't bear it right now. But when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak and He will tell you things to come. And this is why Jesus said, it's better that I go away. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's going to come and He's going to be with you and within you.
Amen.
If Jesus still walked on the earth today and you wanted to ask Him a question, if you wanted to listen to Him, you would have to catch a flight to Tel Aviv, take a taxi out to Galilee, and you'd have to take a number and get in line because there would be at least 1 million people waiting in line to see Jesus. In fact, there are 2.2 billion Christians worldwide. That's a lot of folks. Let's assume that Jesus works 14 hours a day because He'd have to eat and sleep. And assuming that Jesus gave everybody just 1 minute, just 60 seconds, okay, it would take 4 years before you'd have a chance to even see Jesus if there were 1 million people in line. And you better ask Him all you can ask Him because you've only got 60 seconds. But the Holy Spirit can talk to billions of people in nations all over the world in many different languages all at the same time. You don't have to catch a flight or wait in line or learn a new language. You've got the one with all the answers right inside of you, child of God. Of all the New Testament authors, the greatest one would have to be the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote a little more than a third of the New Testament, which is a little more of one-third more than you and I wrote, okay? He wrote over a third of the New Testament, and most of our doctrine comes from the writings of Paul. But here's something amazing about Paul. Paul never walked with Jesus on the earth. Paul never knew Jesus, yet he understood more about Jesus than just about anyone. In fact, Paul understood so much about Jesus that the Apostle Peter said, there's some stuff that Paul teaches that even I don't understand. And Peter walked with Jesus. Peter knew him personally. Peter lived with Jesus and learned at his feet. And yet Paul understood more about Jesus than Peter did. Why is that? Because of the Holy Spirit. That's why when I sit down to read the Bible, I'm in the habit of saying, Holy Spirit, teach me. Holy Spirit, teach me. And the Holy Spirit will teach you the scriptures. And guess what? He'll tell you who you are. The Holy Spirit will give you identity. We are in a generation today that so desperately needs the ministry of the Holy Spirit in their lives, because we got a whole bunch of people, young and old, walking around and they don't even know who they are. Don't even know their gender. Don't even know their identity. They know nothing about who God made them to be, but the Holy Spirit will show us who we are. Romans 8:15 says this, you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. When you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, He is the spirit of adoption. He has adopted you into the family of God, transformed you into a child of God, and He will tell you who you are. When you listen to the Holy Spirit, you'll come to understand that you are no longer a slave to sin, but you are a child of the Most High God. Three relationships between the Holy Spirit and humanity. Number one, the Holy Spirit is with us. He's with everybody, working on our hearts. Number two, the Holy Spirit is within us for those who believe. And number three, and we see this specifically on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit is upon us. Now, this is different from the Holy Spirit being within us. Look back at 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit we're baptized into one body. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, bond or free, we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. Now, Acts 1:8 says this, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. When you receive salvation, the gift of eternal life, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. But when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God comes upon you. He comes upon you. I want you to think about the difference between drinking and being baptized. Okay, I can take this bottle of water. Thank you for this sermon illustration. Hallelujah. God was in that. I can take this water and drink. And the water's inside of me. But you can take me down the road and throw me in the Neuse River, and I will be inside the water. Do you see the difference? When we receive Christ, the Bible says we drink of one Spirit. The Holy Spirit's within us. But when we're baptized in the Spirit, we are immersed in the Holy Spirit. We are immersed in the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was crucified, the disciples were afraid and they ran away. And don't act all spiritual, because you would too. The one who said, follow me and believe in me. If you watched him killed and buried, you'd be hiding too. They were afraid, but something happened 3 days later. They saw the risen Savior. They saw that Jesus was alive. They saw and they believed. Jesus said, blessed are you who have seen and believe, but even more blessed are those who believe and have not seen. But they saw Jesus and they knew that he was alive. They believed in him fully. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So they saw him and they believed. But look at what Jesus said to them. Being assembled together with him, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. They believed. The Bible said when you're born again, you have to be born of the Spirit. They believed they had the Holy Spirit within them, but Jesus said you need to wait till he comes upon you. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is a special experience that follows salvation. When you're baptized in the Spirit, you're immersed in God. When Jesus commanded them to wait in Jerusalem, were they believers? Absolutely. They weren't second-class Christians. But there was something else that Jesus wanted them to experience here on earth that would give them power for ministry. Yeah. Five times in the book of Acts it records when a believer or a group of believers is baptized in the Holy Spirit. And only three times does it actually describe what happens. But in all three times, they spoke in other tongues. Isn't that interesting? And we're going to talk about that a lot more in the coming weeks. But speaking in tongues is not something that we as Christians should be afraid of. Not once in the Bible did the devil ever make anybody speak in tongues. Every single time we see it in the Word of God, it came from Jesus and it always glorified God. And we're going to really dig into this very, very soon. But apart from being born again and apart from personally leading somebody to Christ, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is the most wonderful experience that I have ever had in God. And I think God wants everybody to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. On the day of Pentecost, everybody there received it. The Bible said there were tongues of fire that rested upon each of them. I believe Jesus was taking attendance up in heaven. 118, 119, 120, I'm going to send a flame for everybody. I believe in heaven there is a flame with your name, y'all. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. And it's nothing that anybody is going to force on you. It's nothing that's freaky or scary. It is a wonderful experience in God. And in Luke 11:13, Jesus said God would give it. He would give the baptism in the Holy Spirit to those who ask for it. Yeah. So it's my prayer that in the coming weeks you would have an open heart and that God would give you a hunger for this wonderful blessing that comes from Jesus. Will you stand with me as we pray today? Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. God, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we thank you, God, for working actively in our lives. And Lord, it's my prayer, God, for me personally, Lord, for this congregation, this wonderful church family, for everybody listening on Facebook and on our podcast, Lord, it's my prayer that we would all have a deeper hunger for you. God, that we would all have a deeper longing for your presence. God, that we would have a deeper longing to fully understand your Holy Spirit. Lord, to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Lord, draw us to a place, God, closer to you than we've ever been. Lord, I thank you, God, for a special blessing, Lord, on every person in this ministry, every person here, God, as we seek you and seek after more of you. And God, I thank you for unity. I thank you for clarity. I thank you for the peace of God. Lord, as we rely on your word. And Lord, if there's somebody here this morning who's discouraged, God, I pray that they would find strength right now in your presence. Thank you, Lord. Church, will you just begin to pray for a moment? I believe somebody's facing a trial right now. They're facing a struggle. I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The Bible says when they were thrown in the fire, King Nebuchadnezzar looked in, and he didn't see three, but he saw four men in the fire, and one looked like the Son of God. What I want you to know today as we pray is that three plus fire equals four. Yeah. And no matter what you're going through right now, when you're facing the fire, I promise you that that fourth man is still in the fire. That Jesus is with you and he is working and he is moving in your life. And there are some things, there are some places in God that we could never get any other way than to go through the fire. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for strength. I thank you, Lord, for being with God, my brother and sister in Christ, as they're facing a fire, facing a battle. I thank you, God, that you are never going to leave them, that you're never going to forsake them, Lord, that as they trust in you, Lord, as they hold fast to your unchanging hand, as they stand on the promises of God, I thank you, Lord, that they'll come out of this season stronger than they went into it, Lord. And God, I thank you. Lord, we just love you and we worship you. Can we just take a moment and just worship God? Will you just lift up your hands and lift up your voice? Oh, God, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Thank you, Lord, for your power. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. God, fill us up. Lord, that's our prayer, God, in this season of seeking after you, that you would fill us up. Fill us up to overflow. God, may we live a life full of your Spirit, full of your power, full of your anointing. Thank you, God.
Until I overflow, I will know. Fill me up until I overflow. I will know.
Thank you, Lord, that you're preparing in this season to activate ministry in somebody's life. Lord, I thank you, God, that you're preparing, God, dreams and visions. Lord, that you're preparing ministries even now. God, in this season of seeking you, God, over this next month, Lord, I thank you, God, that we're going to see spiritual breakthroughs in this church. God, that we're going to see new ministries birth. Lord, that we're going to see new levels in the anointing and the power and the Spirit of God. And Lord, we thank you. Because we want more, God. We want everything you have for us. Lord, help us, God, to be in a position to receive all of it, God, and use it for your glory, to advance your kingdom. Lord, to storm the forces of hell. God, we just thank you, Lord, for strengthening us in the power of your Spirit, that we would be a Spirit-empowered church in everything we do. And we thank you, Lord, for filling us up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, let's sing that one more time. Lord, fill me up. I love just this. It's a sweet, simple song. Fill me up. Oh,